Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 117, part 1, Comfort Comes from Constancy. Today is Friday, October 16th, 2009. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And you know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, which means you're a baby boomer, or you're disabled with proof, maybe you're a veteran, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. and register your household for monthly groceries. Be sure to do that. We have plenty of food and we'd like to help you out. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our Pastor Paul's operation. So be sure to help us out online. You can also join our online community, and up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, where you can subscribe to weekly podcasts, Life Vantage, supplements, YouTube, you could watch some of our videos, and Twitter. Be sure to join me, Janine Sherry, on Twitter, where you will see a Twitter stream on Thursdays while I'm recording Pastor Paul's message. So be sure to check us out and join me on Twitter. When you go to Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to be able to leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. So be sure to go to Pastor Paul's blog, and you'll also see Pastor Paul's show notes there to the podcasts. In that, those show notes, you're going to find interactive links to the scriptures within Pastor Paul's podcast. So be sure to go to the blog and link to the scriptures after you listen to his message. You can also email me at janine@pastorpaul.org. And as you know, Pastor Paul's podcast is twice weekly. On Friday is part one, Sunday is part two. So be sure to listen to both parts. It's the same episode. Glad to be back. Maggie is my computer. I always name my computers. I don't know. It's just one of those quirks I have. Anyways, Maggie is back. Maggie and I are back. We've been gone for 2 weeks. Maggie had a video card. Literally, she went blind, and that was it. And so now she's seeing again. I can see her. She can see me. We've got the video card. And also, Dr. Greg at the Digital Garage, where I took Maggie, he was able to help Maggie to be able to kind of clear her head out a little bit. Major files, major podcast files, 115 episodes and going strong. So Maggie needed room. So anyways, I want to let you know the names of the messages that you're going to be able to hear on Pastor Paul's podcast this month. Two loves, Eros and Agape. Let us look upon the faithful. Comfort comes from constancy and making the second rate into the first rate. As always, Pastor Paul's messages are incredible. You will learn so much, get so free, and just really be blessed by his messages. So thank you for joining me. Be sure to check us out online at www.pastorpaul.org. If you need groceries, be sure to call us, 612-521-4665. Register your household for groceries. Have a wonderful month of October in Minnesota. It's beautiful. We're looking forward to a beautiful Indian summer where we're out in the yard getting the garden cleaned up and ready to hunker down for winter, which is coming on. So God bless you. Have a great month of October. God bless you.
Tonight's tape is entitled Comfort Comes from Constancy. Being constant. Tonight we're going to minister on comfort. And I believe it's one of the most misunderstood things in the whole world. How to arrive at comfort. Some drink Southern Comfort, get no comfort. Some run to the lake, and they get up there and they have to mow the grass and paint. Fireplace is falling apart. All the neighbors and all the friends and all the uncles and cousins just happen to be going by, and it's 170 miles out of town. And they went up there to get comfort, and they worked the whole weekend taking care of all these folks that really don't care for them at all. And they buy the overstuffed chairs and the beds and the fireplaces and velvet cushion cars, and they say, isn't this comfortable? But it doesn't last. We're all looking for this very elusive thing, comfort. And it keeps on slip-sliding away. About the time you think you have it, it's gone. You can't catch it. You can't catch comfort. It's always one step ahead. About the time you think you have it, goes sour on you. Boy, this is really going to make me comfortable now. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17 says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation. I like that word, hath. It means it's all over. It means he foreknew and he foredid, and he said, I hath given it to you. Hath given us everlasting consolation, everlasting life. That's a consolation, isn't it? And a good hope. Through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every word and work. Now here we have the Thessalonians here. They had been frustrated by certain people saying, Jesus is going to come back any minute. He's going to come back. It might happen any minute. Immediately it is at hand. But Paul told them, hey, you wait a minute. Be steadfast and don't worry and don't be perplexed by such teaching. And then he prayed this prayer that I just read here. That they might have two things especially. Comfort and constancy. Be constant. That might God then comfort their hearts. And then he says to establish them. You want to get established? You got to have comfort and you got to be consistent. Then it goes on. And establish them in every good word and work. See how they two come together there? The word and the work. Isn't that a great prayer? Whoa, that gladdens my heart when I see that word work in there. Because there isn't a whole lot of workers. The Bible even says so. It says, hey, the fields are white for the harvest, but there's hardly anybody to do the work. But just now, take a minute and think of this in relation to yourself. That the Lord may comfort our heart and establish us in every good word and work. Think about that for yourself for a little while. And I thought, well then, why are these two things put together in this very remarkable prayer? Why is it put this way, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, God, even our Father, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. I wonder why they're put together like that. Talking about these two words here tonight. Talking about this comfort. Talking about being consistent. Well, then I thought, firstly, the two things, comfort and constancy, are put together because comfort, you see, by itself is not enough. I just got done saying that. There is no way that you can just sit down and be comfortable, because in why years is it sitting there, you'll get uncomfortable. Try it sometimes. You sit down and you're comfortable. And it won't be long and you'll be uncomfortable. And you get up and you walk and it feels so good to stretch, but pretty soon you're going to be uncomfortable there too. What's lacking? What's lacking is the anchor, and the anchor is missing here in the United States and around the world. You know what it is? Work. There's got to be that work. There's that word. There's that work. Now, this is an observation I've taken over the 3.5 years I've been in missions, that there is a lack of workers, and then there's a lack of the word also. And so people can't be consistent if they don't know the word, and they can't have comfort if they're not working with the word. Whew. Now, I think by no stretch of the imagination ever should we desire that above all things, I'm talking about Christian men, should have comfort. That'd be like going to war, and the sergeant says, "What are you sitting there for, soldier?" "Oh, I'm just getting comfortable." That's just like Christians. It says that we are in the army of God. Are we supposed to seek to get comfortable and find places of rest for ourselves all the time? And it's impossible anyway. All it will do is frustrate us. You sit down, you're uncomfortable, you get up, you're uncomfortable, you sit down, you get uncomfortable, you lay there long enough, you get bed sores. Oh my. I think it's a very great thing to be comforted, of course, by the Holy Ghost. There's comfort. And I believe this is a very sound comfort, a safe and a holy comfort. But then I thought to myself at the very same time, I think a lot of times we are in error. Those who think first, and the very first and chief reason for knowing God is that you might feel comforted and be happy. Well, I know God, so now I'm going to be comforted. Now I know God, and I'm always going to be happy. Have you ever tried to always be happy? Have you? Have you ever tried to plan your whole evening so that you'd be happy? I use incorrect English because people then they remember the message. See, if you do everything just right, people go to sleep. Say amen. They get too comfortable. They know exactly what you're going to do. You never know what I'm going to do. Now I got a bucket of water up here, and the first one that goes to sleep is going to get it. Don't get too comfortable in the message. Start to wiggle and squirm a little bit. Say amen, somebody. Woo! But how shallow and how unrealistic and how self-pleasing. Just that God would make us comfortable and make us happy. And when we have that feeling, we're never happy. And you cannot be comforted. Because what you're looking for is very selfish. But if you don't look for it, that which you don't look for and that which you can't see, that's what you get. See, it's a whole total different thing. You know, if you're just looking to be comfortable. You ever try to take a vacation? Boy, no, I'm going to sleep. I'm going to sleep here. I'm going to sleep till noon. 5 o'clock, you wake up just like normal. You say, oh, no, you don't. I'm going to lay here and sleep some more. So you try to sleep. Do you ever try to sleep? You either sleep or you don't sleep. There's no trying to it. You either go to bed and go to sleep or you lay to bed and stay awake. See, you can't force things. You know, it's got to come. No, I'm not talking about doing what comes naturally. We don't want to naturally do that. I'm talking about what comes naturally in the spirit. I mean, we don't have to seek after these all the time. to have comfort. I'm just uncomfortable at that certain place. Or I'm not happy. Well, you're not going to be happy any place. You'll not be comfortable any place. And I thought to myself, how shallow and how unrealistic and how self-pleasing we can be at times. However, I thought to myself, there's a lot of people that are under this very notion. They expect every sermon, you listening on the radio right now, come in with all these calls and letters and whatever. I think that you're under this notion. And you expect every sermon to comfort you. Oh, that was such a comforting word. What are you, some kind of a dog? You got to pat you on the head all the time and comfort you? Maybe you need a good shaking. Why lead a dog's life? Have somebody pat you on the head so you can wag your tail. Say, ooh, that makes me happy. And you're always running around for somebody to pat you on the head, looking up with them great big old brown eyes. Huh? That's a dog's existence. Looking to be comforted. And that's just like a dog does or a cat does. They're looking to be comforted. But you expect every sermon to bring you some kind of a comfort, and if you don't get it, you think it's a waste of time. Oh, I didn't get nothing out of that. Made me real uncomfortable. Now, wait a minute. Don't go to sleep here. Remember this bucket of water up here. Ooh. Oh, what a wasted opportunity, they say. I could have been turned to a different station. I lost my opportunity to be comforted and to be made to feel comfort in my sin. You're never going to feel comfortable in sin. Say amen, somebody. And you know, even when they are in prayer, their chief thought is that they want to be comforted. Now, isn't that kind of silly? Here you are in prayer, and you should be praying for someone else. You should be seeking the will of God. And I think that, by the way, is why we pray in tongues, so that we don't pray amiss, and we don't pray, we pray in the will of the Spirit. Because if we're praying in our own understanding, we're always praying for some kind of a comfort for ourselves. I mean, by their own devotion. How would you like to talk to someone who was always looking for comfort? And you're trying to talk to them, and you're sitting over here, and all of a sudden they get up and say, what's happened to that guy? And he goes over here and he sits on the Davenport. This is like God has to put up with us. And you sit over here and then you get over here and you come back over. That's not, huh? How'd you like to talk to somebody like that? I just can't get comfortable. I just can't get comfortable. And you ever talk to somebody like that and you feel like you're not getting through to them and you feel like you're making them uncomfortable by your very presence? Right. Amen. It's true, isn't it, honey? And you're sitting there and you're trying to make conversation with them and they're thinking about their own comfort. They could care less about your comfort. And that's the same way when we're talking to God. We never talk, you know, to God like, is God comfortable with us or whatever like that. We're always talking down to God. Whew. Woo! You got to put it in that perspective so that people will understand. Well, you know, I just didn't get enough of that message. I left very upset. Uncomfortable isn't a word for it. Whew. Oh, God, get uncomfortable and get busy. But you see, sometimes a rebuke is a lot better than comfort. Now, if your kid's running out in the middle of the street, remember how I used to paddle kids when they'd run out in the street? And they're going to run out into the street, you don't run out in the street and comfort them. Let the car run over both of you. No, you swoop them up and all the way back into that yard, you're paddling them on the butt because that car went, eek! And this guy on top of it yelling out of the car, why don't you keep them kids out of the street? Sometimes a rebuke is better than ministering comfort to someone. Now, if you're getting surgery done on yourself and you're getting ready and the doctor was going to cut out some kind of a cancer and the doctor says, wait a minute. I'm not going to do this to you. I'm going to give you comfort. He picks you up by the head and he starts patting you on the cheek. What good is that going to do you? And it's the same way with a message. If we're always looking to be comforted and never looking for some kind of a rebuke or some kind of a change, what good is the message? And so you're going to find people, and there's going to be a lot of preachers left in the end. They're ministering by the power of the Holy Spirit. The rest of them are going to run out to Timbuktu and a holler too, and where they make their houses out of scotch tape and clarinet reeds, and they don't do a whole lot of things, just sit around, and they're going to go sit with them folks because they don't want to receive any kind of a rebuke. Don't you tell me what to do. Did you ever tell that to your folks? Nobody tells me what to do. I'm of age. I didn't think about that. Yeah, it's later than you think. Get out. There's the door. Crawl out a window, any way you choose, but just get out. People should say that, shouldn't they? Instead of saying, oh no, don't leave. You're not quite ready yet. You're only 35, son. How many are hearing this? Oh God. Oh, I tell you, if we need anything, we need comfort, but it comes from being consistent. Oh, God, help us. Ooh. See, it's by a spiritual quickening, and especially by a true sanctification, I think they are more greatly to be valued. I think they are more, I said, greatly to be valued than any measure of comfort whatsoever. Don't you value that more when there is a change that comes into your life than someone comforting you? You're miserable and someone gives you comfort in your misery and you go on being miserable because nobody will give you the truth. Oh, you're okay. So you drink too much. So your liver's all yellow, and you're all yellow and green, and your eyeballs got blue down in here and green, and your fingernails are all yellow. So what? I'd be the last one to judge you, brother or sister. Come and let me comfort you. You comfort them right into the grave. It's the same way when you give out a message of comfort all the time. And people don't, they just get, oh, gee, don't give me that kind of message. I'm miserable enough the way it is. Can't you see? Of course I can see that. I'm ministering to you all the time, you folks on the radio. I see you out there. That sound crazy? I do. And I am. You got to be a crazy to be a preacher nowadays. You got to be a fool for Christ's sake to be a preacher nowadays. You do. It's the truth. There ain't a whole lot of folks that like you. Say amen, somebody. I was telling Jan the other night, I says, gee, folks are mean to me lately. But you know what I got? I have a sense of humor. And the meaner they get, the more I laugh. You understand that? Because I know that something is happening and there's a stirring in the house of God. There is a stirring up of the nest. Just like the mother eagle there, she stirs up the nest. Oh yeah, there's a stirring going on. God's just quickening people. Woo! To true sanctification. Now, like I said, I think that's more valued than any of these old comfort messages. Well, God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be comfortable. He's just going to get you a great big feather bed and lay you down there and tuck you up in there and say, nummy new, and just pat you on the little head and say, lay there and don't ever do nothing, and I'll bring you your dinner and your supper. Just claim it. That's all you have to do, and I'll take care of everything for you, sonny boy. No. I'm sorry. That is way off. But I see now they're correcting that and they're changing it ever so gradually so that you don't know that it was off in error, by the way. Say amen, somebody. Oh, God, it's the truth. Woo! You see, if we confine ourselves to prayer for the Lord only to comfort his people, what a very imperfect form of intercession. Oh, Lord, make them comfortable. You know, Lord, that these horrors that are there, they're going through a type of hell, Lord. Make them comfortable. Don't pray that way. Say, Lord, help them out of this thing. God, deliver them from this evil. Help them, Lord. Do a work, you know, Lord, but for your grace, I'd be doing the very same thing myself. Doesn't matter what sin it would be, I'd be in it, Lord, you know me. But Lord, help us, deliver us, forgive us our sins. Now when a prostitute comes to me, I say, Lord, forgive us. Plural. Plural. You put yourself in the very same place, or you can't minister to anybody. God came down to earth and put himself lower than angels, put himself in a form of a man, God. But sometimes we make ourselves God and get over people. See, the thing is, Jesus put on all those sins. What do you mean, this sin and that sin and this? All sin. He wore them. Put them on his body, and then put his body on the cross. If you receive him, they're nailed to the cross once and forever and for always, and they are forgotten. Never, the Bible says, to be remembered anymore. Isn't that great? Doesn't that bring a joy to you? Ooh. See, we shouldn't only be comforted in knowing Jesus, but we should be led to holy activity. Oh, I know the Lord. Do you know the Lord? Oh, yes, I've known the Lord for 30-some years now. Mm-hmm. Yes, tweedledee, tweedledum, and they cross their legs and twiddle their thumbs. Oh, I've known him for a good many years. Yes, yes. And they get up and give the same testimony for 30 years. I'm glad I know the Lord tonight. And every Sunday. Has anyone got a testimony? Well, I'm glad about that too. But what have you done? Is there any holy activity? See, I think being filled with the Spirit leads us to holy activity. Well, you mean we'll never do any kind of wrong anymore? I didn't say that. I said it will lead you to holy activity. You might do a lot of wrong getting there, but it's going to lead you to holy activity. Well, that's the truth about it too, isn't it? So as to be abound, it says, in every good word and work. And then it goes on, and be established in it. How do you get established in anything? You live there. Now, when you get married, you have to be established. You have to have an address, and you have to be a resident. And it's the same way when you get established in the Word, you have to get into the Word. And you get established in the Word by giving the Word out. That which you receive, you give away. Now that means you're established. That means you have a vote in the thing. You don't go sign up for voting. You have to be established and you have to have an address. And you have to be there, and it's the same way in the house of God. And in work, well, if you go to work, you say to so-and-so worker, hello, we're checking a credit reference here. Is so-and-so, are they there? Are they established in that job? How long have they been in that job? Oh, yes, they've been here in this, they've been established in this establishment for a long time. Are you hearing this? But I thought to myself, another answer to this very holy question here is why is there a conjunction between comfort and constancy? There's another thing here. Because establishment in every good word and work is not enough if it's done alone. If you're established only in the work, that's not enough. If you're established only in the word, that's not enough. Now, I know people that are 900-pound spiritual word hogs, but they never work it out. Then we have those that work it out, they don't know the word. So you need them both. The word must be put to work. Are you hearing this? And the work must be put to the word. Isn't there a song like that? Oh, the word is working mightily in me. that's working mightily in you to manifest the Word through you. And that's the work of it. What God works in, God works out. So you can't take credit for anything. God will work the Word in you through trials and through tribulations and through your life and through different things that happen to you. Different frustrations and different fears and different peace and different joys and different whatevers. And that which He works in you, He'll work out of you. And so there's the work of it. And when it works out of you, it's manifested in the way of an actual thing happening. You create it. You ever think about doing something and then you get up and do it? That's like you gals. Now you're sitting there and all of a sudden you look over there and there's a beam of light comes in and there's a dusty table over there. And you think, oh, gee, I've never noticed that before. Okay, now you go over there and you wipe that table off. You manifest that which was put into you and you work it out. It's like a voice says, that table is dirty over there. And when you read the Word, the Bible tells you something in that Word. And you get up and you obey the Word and you work it out. Whew. Hope I make myself clear here tonight. See, our God isn't like the Pharaoh, who wouldn't give only one day of rest. Now, one day, and not one day in worship. Pharaoh said like this to Moses, "Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let hinder the people from their works? Get you unto your burdens. Get to work." But our God isn't like that, is He? No. He doesn't speak to us that way. When we work for God, we are at rest. I was amazed. One day I was watching TV and they have this bird. And I think it's a couple years they fly around. And they never light. Remember that? I don't know, maybe it was 4 years or something. It was a long time. I thought, how could that be? Well, this bird goes up and it starts flying. And it rests while it's flying. And I thought, you know, wouldn't that be great if Christians could do that? If while they were on the wing, they were at rest. And I said, God, isn't that the way it should be? Shouldn't we be like those birds that are on the wing, but while they're on the wing, they're in rest? And then you know what came to me. We never have a better rest than when we have every faculty. And that every faculty is occupied in the service of the Lord. I am never more at rest than when my whole heart and my whole mind and my whole body is at work in the works of the Lord. And then I'm at rest. And you'll call people up that are sitting home and they're supposed to be resting and they're bored and they're nervous and they're upset and they're not busy and they have no rest. And so you see, we are like that bird, aren't we? When every faculty is put to work for the Lord, then you have rest. Ooh. But you see, when work alone or when word alone, if this all by itself, it ends up in a weariness. And it also ends up in boredom. I've seen people that are in the Word all the time. You know what? They are bored out of their ever-loving mind. You know what? They can quote Scripture after Scripture, and they're not doing any work. And they're bored. And then you see people that just work. And the world even tells us that. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. And so, if you that are just always working are not in the Word, you don't witness to anybody, you don't talk to anybody about Jesus, you become boring. You become wearied. You become unhappy. But also, I thought it wouldn't work well if Jesus didn't comfort us. When I'm working, I'm comforted. And I'm wondering, why am I so happy? I'm down here, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, stirring on this corn. Why do I feel so comforted? Why do I feel so free? Why do I feel so full? And why do I feel so rich? Why do I feel so wonderful? I even sometimes almost feel guilty. I feel so good. I feel like I got some kind of a secret no one else has. And I don't know how to tell them. You wouldn't dare go over and tell somebody, you know, why don't you, hello, this, I know it's 2 o'clock in the morning, but listen, I'm having so much fun down here. We're blanching this corn down here. See, that's when you take the corn, and they're on the other phone. That's when you blanch the corn, you put it in hot water, you see, and then you pull it out of there, and then you put it in bags and put it in the freezer, and it'll stay for years and years and years, and all of a sudden, click, brrr. See, it's hard to tell people. Because you know why? They'll think you're crazy. Well, I think they're crazy. Did you hear that? How many are hearing this? Now, I know this is a very convicting message, you listening on the radio. See, you got to learn this. You're always going to see, like, unhappy workers, those who don't love their work. Have you ever worked with someone that don't love their work? Down there where you work, is there people that don't love their work and they don't love people? Is it fashions or something? Oh, I'm so sick of looking at these people. What drags and bores they are. Nasty. Aren't they boring? Sillies, millies. Oh, these rich people are so silly. Oh, huh? They'll buy anything. Cut a hole in a gunny sack and, you know, throw some beads around it. Say, this is the latest fashion. They'll buy it. Put your shoes on backwards and walk out there. Ooh, I like that. One this way and one that way. Can't tell whether they're coming or going. Ooh, I like that. Have I hit the nail pretty much on the head there? Yep. See, I when I was in the world, that's the kind of thing I did. How many are hearing this? See, those that aren't happy in their work and they don't love their work, they're unhappy. You ever seen somebody that's unhappy in their work? Hi. What can I do for you? Sure. They throw a plastic smile on, you know what I mean? One time I went in a place, I said, please don't strain your face that much. I'm sorry, folks. These thoughts come to my mind while I'm talking to people. You ever found that to be true? They don't love their work and they have no comfort. They're not at home in it. Those who are not comfortable in their faith walks. You know what? They are poor workers and they are complainers and they are whiners. Oh, something's happened. Someone just turned me off. Maybe somebody in here just turned me off too. I'll just talk a little louder and I'll bring that bucket of water out now. Then let's go on here. I believe the second blessing mentioned here is that God may comfort your hearts. Oh, I thought, wow, when your heart is comforted. You ever been comforted in your heart? You go in. I can remember being comforted in my heart by going in and looking at the kids. I used to go in and look at Debbie, and I would look at her, and all of a sudden, a comfort would come in my heart. And you walk out of the room, and you're walking out, and you feel the comfort all over your whole body. And you're completely satisfied with you. And you know what that is? That is God. That is a comfort. Whew. Well, you pick the little one up, and you can't kiss him enough. You know what I mean? And you think, if I keep this up, I'm going to smother the kid. That's comfort. And that's rest. And that's peace. I can't explain it. It's agape love. Did you ever love somebody and your heart just ached like it's going to come right out of you? There's a song like that. It's called Heartaches. Now I know none of you heard it. I ain't even going to ask you. Anybody in here ever hear that song? Thank you, Jan. Oh, do you know how it goes? Anybody want to sing it? Heartaches. Heartaches. That's all I ever get is heartaches, huh? Did you ever have that? I remember I was a kid and I was watching Roosevelt. And for some reason, I just had a love for Roosevelt because he was a president. We were at war. And I seen him on TV and my heart just started aching. I thought, oh, I love my president. Oh, he is so great. What a wonderful president. That sounds stupid to you? I guess in my lifetime I've been in love with people. Maybe 1,500 times I've had heartaches. I wonder I don't have a, you know, heart attack. And, you know, but it brings me comfort after the ache is gone. When it subsides and, you know what I'm saying. But when you get these two together, when you're neck high in God's service. You ever get neck high in God's service? I mean neck high. Up to your neck in bills. Up to your neck in hot water. Up to your neck in work. Up to your neck with people. No. And then you're immersed, let's say immersed in your heart, in a divine comfort. You have this work and you're enjoying it. And you're up to your neck in it. But you just keep going, see? Oh, you don't even notice you're up to your neck in it. Well, we'll just do this and this and God will work it out. I'm not talking about just this flimsy, flim-flam faith. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about really believing it. Really believing it is really doing it while you're up to your neck in it. And you have to pray while you're standing up because you've got down on your hands and knees at that particular time, you'd go under. See, as a time when you work it out, and you pray while you're on the wing. And then people will say, do you ever pray? I never see you get down on your hands and knees and pray. Well, you pray. You pray while you're on the run. You pray while you're on the wing. You pray when you're up to your neck and faith works. Oh, God, thank you for that. You pray and God immerses you. Glory to God. In your heart with a divine comfort in the middle of all this, what would seemingly be confusion, you have a divine comfort. You are immersed in it. Now, this is something I can't tell you. You have to go ahead and actually do it for yourself. And you get immersed in divine comfort. You say, why am I so comfortable? Don't try to figure it out. You'll ruin it. You ever try to figure out why you're comfortable or why you're happy? Why am I so happy? Run away, just go ahead and believe God and you're going to have that comfort. And then also these two things cause you not, I said, not to be unfruitful or barren. But then at the very same time, they help you not to be wearying in doing well. You're doing well and it doesn't seem like you were. Sometimes you go to 3 o'clock in the morning, but you're not weary. You're doing well and you're not weary. You're in the Word and the Word is working mightily in you and the Word that's working mightily in you brings a work out of you and you start to create a divine thing in God. And when there's a creation going on and the excitement of a creation within and it's worked out of you to cause something to happen, who needs to go to sleep? Well, it's something you can't explain. It's something that you have to do. And I was sitting with a millionaire here not too many days ago. And he says, well, I want to find out more about this being born again. What does this mean? I said, well, this ice cream you got here, I says, you know, there's no way you can tell me how it tastes. I have to taste it for myself, and you just have to, you'll have to experience Jesus for yourself. You have to believe to take that spoon and put it up to your face and find out what that ice cream tastes like. And then you're not going to be able to define it to anyone else. All you can say is, mmm. So all I'm going to say to you is, mmm, that's good. Ooh. You know what? That just stopped him right then and there. I have no doubt in my mind that I'm going to lead that guy to Jesus. None. He says, I'm going to see you in a few days hence. And I says, he says, I'm going to see you in a few days hence, and I'm going to come down, and I'm going to ask you some real questions. Well, I says, go ahead. I got some real answers for you. If you come up with one I don't know, I'll just say I don't know. I'm not a liar. But I'm also not a provoker of God. I'm not going to provoke God's anger. See, the Bible says we are made to be steadfast. What does it say? Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what we're made for. To be abounding, steadfast, unmovable. Now, what is that saying? Steadfast. Unmovable. Abounding. Have you seen some abounding Christians lately? I mean, abounding, like a deer leaping, abounding. Abounding we will go. Huh? Abounding. Excited. Steadfast. But you're that way, and you know why? Because you are comforted in the belief that your labor is not done in vain in the Lord. I mean, you really believe that what you're doing is not in vain. Well, if you're doing something, you say, well, this ain't going to do no good. Are you going to be excited about it? No. But if you know you're not laboring in vain for the Lord and you're a believer, you say, wow, there's some great and eternal purpose that's going to come out of this thing. And so there I see two very good reasons for a conjunction of comfort and constancy in the text. First, because comfort alone is not sufficient. And then secondly, because constancy without comfort will not suffice us. You need them both. You need both of them at the same time. And next, it is because the comfort of your heart aids in the establishment, let's say, of the soul, and that is in the service. So we need the two things. We need to be in service. And to be in service, you got to have it put in you. And that what's put in you is put out of you. Now you're in service. See, when you go in the service, like when you go in the army, you get in, you go, what do you call it, indoctrinate. They indoctrinate, they bring you into the service. And then they work it into you. And they take you through basic training. And they cut all your hair off. I don't know if they do that now. They probably give you a bob or a trim. Could only be sticking out 1 foot below your hat. I don't know what they do. But when I was in the service, they just made you bald eagle. You know what I mean? You're just completely bald, like I am now. And I'm not in the service. I'm in the service of the Lord. But you understand what I'm saying here? And then they work this thing into you, and when they work it into you, they expect something out of you. And it's the same way when you work for the Lord. They are just put together because one helps the other. You're not going to have comfort until you're in service in the Lord. You won't be. That's like the master sergeant. You're not going to have any kind of comfort if you don't get into the service of what you've been told to do. You hearing this? And it's the same way when you're working for the Lord. You're not going to have any kind of comfort if you're not in active service, not in active duty. God didn't prepare you before the foundation of the world to just sit and read. Now, how many of you know what I'm talking about here? You know why you don't have any comfort? Because you're not in service. not in service. You come to church, you're listening on the radio, or maybe you don't go to church, maybe you just listen to radio, I don't know. But nevertheless, you're not in service. You like to hear the word, and you like to read the word, and you like to study the word, but what good are you? If you, you know, and that's why you don't have any comfort. And that's why you're always so argumentative. It's because you're not comfortable. You got to have them both, see? You got to have that consistency. Not only do you go to work, but you go there consistently. And you know what happens when you go to your regular job and you're consistent? You get a paycheck. And it's the same way when you're consistent in the Lord. You get paid. But you get paid with peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And you have that comfort. Oh, it feels so good. I feel so comfortable. God, how did I get this? God, I've noticed the happy people in the Lord will persevere. They persevere in the service of the Lord.